Fearless Voyager Radio. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers, psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative health care, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Yes, what a show I have planned for you this evening. 3 hours of absolutely incredible interviews, starting this evening with Linda Thompson from the American Justice Federation. But let's start right away with Linda Thompson. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, Linda. It's a long time. We finally did this.
Oh, it's wonderful.
We finally got it together. You are responsible for making some of the most controversial videos that I have ever seen. Your most recent one is called America Under Siege. Before we talk about America Under Siege, why don't I give you a few moments to tell our listeners about your last video, which really caused quite a stir, and maybe just include a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, the most recent video or the one before that?
The one that really caused all the trouble.
Gee, I don't know. It's kind of hard to sort it out. It's kind of like some days I feel like I have a parade.
Well, you're most recently, you were known, well, I met you under the Waco incident. So
right. Let's
start there.
That really did start it off. I got involved with Waco. I'm an attorney. And I've always wanted to, well, I went to law school, to learn how to defend people's rights. I mean, that was my idea. That's why I went to law school. I believed that someone had to stand up for the Constitution, and I learned the same thing in sixth grade as most everybody did, that this is supposed to be the land of the free, the home of the brave, truth, justice, and the American way, and I believed it all, believed every bit of it. So when Randy Weaver, was a fellow that got attacked up in Idaho in August of 92, things had been going kind of poorly in the country for a couple of years that I knew of, that I was aware of, and I was seeing things in the courts that I really didn't like at all. I mean, I was seeing things that just, basically, they were corruption.
And now, for our listeners, why don't we just really quickly do the Randy Weaver thing? Randy Weaver, from my understanding, is a gentleman who opposed paying taxes. Is that correct?
I don't know. I don't think that was an issue because it never came up in any of the trials or any of that kind of thing.
But he was attacked personally, and part of his family was literally blown away.
Yeah. He was. I think the big focus of the government's attention on him was that he was a member of a religious group that... I'll tell you, this is something that I've discovered since then. I didn't know it then, but I do now. There are several groups that are well able to influence the media and law enforcement in this country, and it's troubling to me. I'm not certain why they have such influence on the government, but they do. And they have managed to give training classes, lectures. They've convinced law enforcement that this group called Aryan Nations is one of the biggest threats to American security that ever walked on the face of the earth. The fact of the matter is, Aryan Nations is a group of white separatist survivalist types that, for the most part, don't bother anybody because that's their whole lifestyle, is to be survivalists away from everybody. They don't want to be part of mainstream America. And if they number 500 across the country, I'd be astounded, because I think we've heard from most of them here. And yet, somehow law enforcement, if you mention Aryan Nations to law enforcement, they go ballistic. They're just convinced that these guys are just terrible, dangerous, horrible people. And they've spent a lot of our tax money and resources investigating this particular group.
What happened?
Government sent six agents from Boston to watch this guy because they thought they could use him to infiltrate this Aryan Nations group. And the agents got bored, threw rocks at Weaver's house. Now, he lived up in the middle, literally, of a forest. He had nobody nearby him for miles. This guy was no threat to anybody, had no criminal history, had done nothing.
And let's also remind people that he had a family up there, too.
Yeah, he had his wife, his three daughters, his son, and another guy that he had raised since he was a teenager that was now a young man, Kevin Harris, in his early 20s. So all of them were living up in what amounts to a kind of a hillbilly kind of cabin up in the woods. And this is the kind of guy that I personally would think of. Well, to me, he is a stereotypical hillbilly, actually. But he's not bothering anybody. He's not doing anything to anybody. And our government sends six guys from Boston out to Idaho to watch him and his family for 18 months. They videotaped these guys, the whole family. And they got bored one day, threw rocks at the house to get the hunting dogs to start barking, which predictably occurred. Kevin Harris and Sammy Weaver, the 14-year-old boy, went running out behind the dogs to see what the commotion was, and they took their rifles with them, thinking the dogs were after a deer or something, and realized these are survivalist hunter types, and that's what they do. So they go running out, and they're confronted in the roadway by a guy in camouflage fatigues who shoots the dog in front of the little boy, and the little boy raises his rifle at this guy in camouflage fatigues and says, "You shot my dog." At about that time, gunfire rains at them from the woods. Well, it turns out the guy in camouflage was a U.S. Marshal, and there were five more U.S. Marshals in the woods. They shot their own agent in the crossfire, killed the 14-year-old boy, and Kevin Harris got back to the cabin to tell Randy Weaver his son was dead. They were able to get the boy's body and put him in a shed next to the house. The next day, when Weaver and his daughters and Kevin Harris were going to the shed to tend to the boy's body, a sniper shot Weaver in the side. It was an FBI sniper named Lon Horiocci from Vienna, Virginia, shot Weaver. And Vicki Weaver, his wife, comes to the doorway holding their 10-month-old baby in her arms and says, "What is that? What was that? What happened? What's wrong?" Weaver's running back to the house. He's shot in the side. He's not mortally wounded. And as she's standing in the doorway, Vicki Weaver, the same sniper fires and blows her head off. Now, these people hadn't shot at the government. These people hadn't provoked the government. They had done nothing. Now, to cover all this up, the U.S. Marshal Service said there had been a big shootout, that Randy Weaver was a dangerous desperado. They got the governor of Idaho to declare martial law for this one man. They sent in tanks. They surrounded his house. They tried to firebomb his house from the helicopters using portable bladders of gasoline. Now, when I first heard this, I found it truly unbelievable, but I found film footage during Waco that shows the exact same thing, among other things. But in any event, all of this is going on, and we're not hearing a word about it out here in the rest of America. I'm in Indianapolis. I saw one little tiny blurb about it. And it was so weirdly worded that it made me suspicious. It said, "White supremacist hold up in mountain cabin in shootout with the feds." Now, whenever I see anymore, when I see the newspapers use inflammatory language like that, white supremacist, you've got to wonder what's behind it. Was this the motivation for the feds to be up there? Had he done something? Did he burn a cross? Did he kill someone? What did he do that makes his political or whatever beliefs relevant to the current issue? Well, it turned out there was nothing. He is a white separatist, that's certain. But that was not related to what was going on. So why was it in the paper? And when I called and checked on all this and found out it was all going on, I couldn't get the press to run any information that we were finding. I got Randy Weaver's diary. He wrote, kept a diary during the siege of what was going on. All of the things in the diary were later proven to be true at trial. But when I first read this diary, it was so honest. You know, it was not self-serving. This guy implicated himself in the diary. I mean, it was just a straightforward writing by a very plain, very unsophisticated man. And it should have been a great human interest story, if nothing else, and none of the major media would run with it. And then I called the Marshal Service, and I said, "Put us on your list for press releases." We got a press release after they'd already killed the wife and son that said they were taking every precaution because the wife and children were inside. And I called up Drew Wade with the Marshal Service. I said, "What do you mean you're taking every precaution? You already killed the wife and son. don't you know that? He said, yeah, but that's the official story. So I knew then that our government willingly lied to us. I began to suspect that what we were being told in the paper wasn't what was actually occurring up there. I interviewed people and I found out what was occurring in Idaho was nothing like what was being told to America. And when it was all over and done with and Randy Weaver surrendered, he was put on trial for murder of the marshal. He was acquitted. Kevin Harris was put on trial for the murder and he was acquitted. So Randy Weaver's family is devastated. His wife and son are dead. And the fellow that shot his wife and has never been brought to trial at all, never been put up on any kind of charges.
Linda, after that, you were drawn into Waco, weren't you?
Well, yes. As we were investigating this and finding out it wasn't an isolated phenomenon, I just was ashamed that no attorney had intervened during the Weaver situation to put a halt to this nonsense. They surrounded him with 1,000 tanks and agents and military. The government declared martial law on him. I mean, this is one guy. This is a citizen of the United States who's done nothing. And our media went along with it. Now, that to me probably was the second most appalling thing, was the media's cooperation. But the first, the thing that really grabbed my attention was they had ATF agents in the roadways in Idaho with machine guns keeping his neighbors away. Now, ATF is an arm of revenue collection. They're tax collectors. Their job is to make sure that tax is paid on alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. That is the only thing that makes guns illegal in any way, shape, or form in this country, is if some of them require that a tax be paid, and if you haven't paid that tax, then you're in violation of the tax law. And ATF was a federal agent standing in roadways in Idaho with machine guns blocking the citizenry. We're not talking about Somalia or some third world country here. We're talking about the United States with federal tax agents with machine guns in a roadway. Now, that really bothered me. That picture for me was appalling.
So we saw the same picture repeated at Waco, didn't we?
I got it firsthand. I've got a picture of an ATF agent with his machine gun pointed at my head for 20 minutes in a roadblock in Waco. And it was one of the first pictures I took in Waco. They couldn't have reached in my brain and found something that would have irritated me more than that, personally, you know, and it did. But nonetheless, I had just simply said, I can't believe this is going on and that nobody is putting out anything about the other side of it, the constitutionality of it, the illegality of what the law enforcement officers are doing, what the governor is doing, all of these things. Why aren't we hearing the other side? What is going on here? Well, when Waco happened, I stuck my nose in it because I knew right off the bat there is hard and fast Supreme Court law that says if you're not able to leave the control of the police, you are entitled to an attorney. And the FBI was denying an attorney the right to go in and talk to these people. And I was unaware that anyone had filed a motion of any sort with the court to try to get an attorney in there based on the Supreme Court law. So I went down there to file that exact motion, did it very low profile. I didn't take any press with me, didn't call anybody, didn't tell anybody I was going to do it. I go down there and I file this motion, and I find out that the entire system is already rigged and set up. The judge was just literally bought and paid for. He had issued 7 orders that were virtually identical on 7 different motions that were not the same. Well, I'm going to have to cut to the chase because we're running out of time.
Yes, we are.
With Weaver, I had said, if this happens again, I'm going to stick my nose in it. With Waco, it was happening again. And we were hearing the media talk about David Koresh pretty much the same way as they had Randy Weaver. They were showing us film clips saying that he was a religious cult leader that abused children, that stockpiled weapons.
And incidentally, all of that was later found to be false, wasn't
it? Yeah, and even if it had been true, and I'm listening to this with the lawyer mindset, it has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. They had ATF agents that raided his home in a military style all supposedly to serve a search warrant to look for illegal machine guns. Now, when we say illegal machine guns, we simply mean guns that a $200 tax has not been paid on. Now, it got down to where they were claiming there was one illegal machine gun, a 50 caliber that, by the way, they never did find to be true. So we're talking about a $200 tax. Now, we're talking about a multi-million dollar operation here where they show up with a couple hundred agents in cattle cars in special forces style. They trained with special forces. This came out in the final reports and so forth. All of this entire raid was planned with multiple agencies, the military, ATF, FBI, DEA, all of those agencies were involved the first day of the raid, not just ATF. And they attacked this place with helicopters that fired into the house. We've got proof of that in our second video. The first one, Waco the Big Lie, was just what I was able to find by June of 93. And that, I think, in itself was damning enough. There was evidence that the media cooperated by portraying the Branch Davidians as some sort of horrible, terrible people that deserve to die. Now, this is an appalling statement of our media, that they are intentionally demonizing people so that the rest of the country goes, yeah, yeah, kill them, like the Romans, you know? And that's exactly what they were doing. Why? What caused the media to put out this kind of stuff that turns out not only was it false, they knew it was false when they did it, and we've got proof of that, too. All right, what I found in investigating Waco, the bottom line was, first of all, military was used to train the government law enforcement agencies. Military was used to, in the attack, they fired on that house. They killed children the first day, never admitted it to the American public. The media was purposely used to tell us lies so that we would believe what the government was saying about what was going on down there. And on the final day, when the place was burned down, it was burned down intentionally after everyone inside there was murdered, and military special forces were used to do it. Now, in investigating that, I found two very, very troubling things. One is shown in America Under Siege. That's our newest tape, and that is that military special forces are being used in these task forces around the country as law enforcement, but essentially as a Gestapo. Now, that is legitimized in the crime bill. You'll find that Janet Reno has been put in charge of these multi-jurisdictional task forces, which include military and several different federal law enforcement agencies that can come into any municipality if the municipality simply asks, and literally occupy a city for up to a year in the name of the so-called war on drugs.
All right, let's tell you what, we're obviously going to have just talk about this forever, Linda. Let's take a couple calls, and then we'll come back to this.
Okay.
I think we have got Jack first from Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, hi, Linda.
Hi.
I got a question for you. I bought your original tape, and then I bought your second tape and viewed them and so on and so forth, and there's kind of a phenomena that I've noticed. Maybe you could explain it for me. You know, you go to the gun shows and things like that, and you used to see your tape on. And then all of a sudden, it was sort of like everybody just said, you know, gee, there's something with Linda Thompson's tape that isn't right or whatever. And then everybody acted like, they sort of shut your credibility up. And the thing I don't understand is that the tape was very well done, and I mean, nobody's perfect, and you get everything, you know, pretty square. But why is it that probably more in the right-wing movement than it seems to be with the liberal group, that it seems like these people shoot themselves in the foot? They get a good cause, they get something out, and then all of a sudden they discredit it over a couple of minor details.
Okay, that's not people on our side doing it. That was the second leg of the phenomenon I was just getting ready to explain. The one thing that was in common with Weaver, that was in common with Waco, that is in common with me, is a group called the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Mm-hmm. They claim to be out there to protect people from anti-Semitism, to protect Jews from anti-Semitism, but that's a cover story. What they actually do, and they've been indicted in two states, and I can guarantee that I won't be back on this show again after this because they will call and threaten the station. What they've been indicted in Virginia and California for spying on American citizens for law enforcement, and I don't mean just law enforcement, but CIA, Secret Service, British Secret Service, Mossad, which is out of Israel, all these different agencies use them to get intelligence information. They paid a man to spy on me. His name is Henry Kitchen out of California. And that man put out information, news releases to the media, got on radio shows. There was another fellow that was a radio broadcaster that was paid to go behind me on every radio program I had been on, and another magazine, Soldier of Fortune, that put out a claim that my tapes had been discredited. Now, not one person that has ever made that claim has ever analyzed our tapes.
Well, no, that wasn't so much it. I hear what you're saying there.
But then this is it. They invaded, they took all of these news releases and put them out in the gun trade magazines, because they put it out where my tapes had predominantly spread to begin with, which was with people at gun shows, this kind of thing. They took those exact same media sources and released information to them that was false.
Well, there was a couple of, there's one publication, national, well, it's a small newspaper, but anyway, I subscribe to out of Washington, D.C., and they also have a radio talk show commentator that uses that same newspaper, and
right.
They fund him. Anyway, they, you know, those people
You can
people
use
are,
names if you want to, Jack.
It's the Spotlight and Tom Valentine.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I didn't realize
That's
that.
All right. But the point is here, Jack, make it quick, because I'm going to have
spotlight.
To take a break.
Well, the thing was is that they come out against the ADL and so on and so forth, because I do read the Spotlight, but by the same token, that and some other conservative people, which to me, you know, should know better. They weren't connected to the national media or the ADL.
Yes, they are. That's what you don't know. This is what I found in my investigations. Several of these groups are not what they claim to be.
Hmm.
They get trustworthy and credible by putting out information that they largely get from other sources that is true. For instance, I generally, most of the things I say generally agree with the John Birch Society for some reason, yet they have been a detractor of mine. Well, it only takes one person to be in any of these organizations to undermine them and realize if the Spotlight were being effective, they would be a target of this sort of infiltration and attempts to undermine them. The same thing for John Birch Society. And what better way to do it than to create infighting amongst the groups? And that's exactly what these infiltrators...
We've got another call. I know. Did you finish what you wanted to say? Because I know you were really...
Well, this tied together, it was the key to both Waco and the tape America Under Siege, which shows that there is a plan, and it is being implemented. It's called Operation Garden Plot. It was written in the 70s. It is part of today's military manuals to put American citizens in prison camps, to put us under a one-world dictatorship. President Clinton speaks very openly about it. There are a number of executive orders that have been passed this year. The plan is to put this country under a one-world dictatorship, and there are a number of very powerful and influential people in the world working towards that goal. And what the other caller brought up is a very good example of what I'm talking about. I was doing such a good job exposing what is going on here. I inadvertently discovered the use of special forces at Waco. That was the one thing that every story you heard coming out of the government was designed to deceive us on. They would berate the ATF. They would say this was a bungled raid and so forth and so on. All of that admits negligence. All of that steers people's attention away from the use of military special forces. And the same goes with anything else that we're seeing. It's intended to direct us away from what really happened. Now, the propaganda through the media was effectively controlled by the very groups that have been able to attack me very effectively because they have people in the media. That is their job. They're the same people that put out stories claiming that crime is up when in fact it's down. I don't think there's a person in the country that doesn't believe crime is up right now because of the effective propaganda, but the fact is crime is down, has been down 3 years in a row, and it's lower than it was in 1940. They put out the propaganda that banning guns will stop crime when it has no relationship whatsoever, and any law enforcement agent can tell you that. So these are the people that have an agenda, and they're effectively using the media as propaganda. Our media is more controlled than the Soviet Union's media in the 60s. I have seen 17 radio stations I've been on in the last year bought out and the hosts fired. I cannot buy advertising time for any of my tapes on any television station anywhere or in any mainstream newspaper. We've seen a news release that was just released by the ADL the other day. They're attempting to portray all militias around the country as being white supremacists and racists and so forth, when in fact the groups I speak to and have seen around the country are mainstream, middle-class, ordinary Americans. If you've seen any KKK rallies, you'll notice that the media pumps them up for weeks in advance. And I know there were three KKK rallies last year.
Now, let me say one thing, Linda. Okay, I just want to get this straight. You don't support the activities of the separatists, do you?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, so let's get that straight. I want to get that across.
They have a very difficult time associating me
with
that.
What you're supporting.
Because I've fought that sort of thing for years.
All right. But let me see if I understand what you're supporting. What you are supporting, though, is the right under the Constitution for people who don't necessarily agree with each other to say that they don't agree. Is that right?
I'm not even supporting that. I'm being portrayed as supporting that. I wasn't even involved in that at all. This is the point. They are able to use propaganda effectively and claim that when someone isn't even involved in it. I've never been involved with defending separatists. I've never been involved with separatists one way or another, period. I've never had anything to do with them. This is propaganda. This is crap is what it is. If you watch, though, watch the media, 50 KKK guys will come to a city, and it'll be pumped up in the media for weeks in advance, like, oh, there's going to be a big riot. Well, 50 beer-bellied old buzzards show up and stand on the courthouse square and talk for 20 minutes, and 700 other people show up in opposition to them. That tells us right here we don't have a real problem with the KKK in this country. They are clearly a very tiny minority of the population, and they're not, you know, widely accepted. They are not a big problem. The same can be said of almost any of these other groups. So this one group that spends all of its time putting out this propaganda creates their own boogeymen. They will label, they have now lumped tax protesters in as part of this category.
James, welcome to the show.
Fine, it's Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, West Virginia. I don't know what I said. I've got a list here, but go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to agree with her. I think the whole Waco incident was botched. As a former military man and involved in the Special Forces, they handled that entire incident wrong. It was as if they were making some kind of big show to take people's attention away from what was actually going on. A true Special Forces unit could have went in there under the cover of darkness, got the information they wanted, got the people they wanted out, and there wouldn't have been a shot fired. Also, I was curious, the Randy Weaver incident, was the sniper ever brought up before an FBI board of shooting, review board?
Not at all.
We're supposed to do that. That's the standard operational procedure on something like that.
This is the kind of thing we're seeing that's very troubling, and your point is well made on the Special Forces. In this particular case, though, what they're doing and what we found, and this is, I wish you'd see America under siege. There is a rogue faction of Special Forces that's not what you probably remember it as. I'm a military veteran, too. Special Forces were an honor to be in.
Yes.
When I was in, and the guys in there were the most patriotic, most dedicated. I mean, these were the guys everybody tried to be like, you know. Mm-hmm. This was, you remember the Green Berets and Sadler's Song and all that. I mean, these were the good guys. They're not now. This is a unit, there's one core unit that's being trained out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Their job is to fire down from helicopters on citizens below as parachutists parachute into a city. That's what they did in Somalia, and that's how they're trained. What I found and what's in America Under Siege, we found that there is an overall plan to put this country under one world government using military control under the direction of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, that it involves control of the media, that it involves all of these things we talked about. There's a national surveillance system involving cameras on light poles that has already been installed around the country. We have Soviet vehicles, UN troops in our country right now. We show all of this, some of the detention camps that have been built. All of these things are in America under siege. And it is an overall plan, and the people that are my detractors that will probably call your station and
okay, well, let's
make sure
them...
that we get in trouble over this broadcast are part of the problem. They
Linda,
are the group.
Let me tell people how they could get the videos. Now, there's America Under Siege. There is the Waco, the Big Lie. Linda, you got about 15 seconds. What would you like to say?
Well, thank you very much for having me on your program. This country is in dire peril. Anybody that believes in the Constitution, believes this is the land of the free, home of the brave, has got to see these tapes, understand what's really going on here, and band with like-minded others to find a solution.
Thanks so much for this being here. We're going to do this again. We're going to, my goodness, you sent me an agenda that could take 5 hours.
Thank you a lot.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye-bye.
All right.